This is January 27th, and we're at the ADGA office in Spindale, North Carolina. We're going to be talking with Eric Germain. And so, Eric, you just kind of keep this conversational. And just wondering, you know, your early beginnings in Derrigo, how would you kind of characterize that, you know, starting out?
I was a young boy that didn't have many friends, so all my animals were all my friends. My parents said that I could have anything I wanted as long as I was the one that did all the chores and I paid for all the feed. Oh. And so they would kind of come out every once in a while and look things over, but I was very responsible. And so, you know, there wasn't a problem that way.
How old were you?
Oh, probably when I got my first goat, about 10. I didn't join Agri right away because, again, my dad felt that was kind of frivolous. He, you know, well, you don't need to have, you know, all that stuff. It's just more money and stuff. And I got in 4-H. I had a really good 4-H leader who had goats herself. And so that, you know, kind of helped spark my interest in everything. Started out with Toggenbergs. And then quickly realized who the influential people were at the shows and stuff, and I had a real knack as far as helping people unload and load their goats and stuff, just to get close to them, to be able to talk to them and stuff. I still to this day suggest to people, it's like, you know, if you want to pick somebody's brain, don't just walk up to them and just start asking questions. Just be willing to do chores, help them with unloading the truck, whatever it is,
right.
You know, it's beneficial for them too. And I, as I said, I spent a lot of time with Nancy Lake, just sitting around talking. You know. What was funny was in 76, 77, John was in Wisconsin and at Daniels buying books from Nancy Lake. And Nancy would just talk about this John White, you know, John White this, John White that, you know. And it's kind of funny how it all came full circle, you know.
Yes. So
just a real unique opportunity growing up in Southern California at that time. Of course, Audrey Evans, Sheila Nixon, you know, they were real influential people as far as they lived there. You know, Sheila still lived in Southern California. Audrey was still active. It was basically the epicenter of dairy goats in the country in the 70s. It's changed a little bit now, obviously, but at that point in time, there was still enough space in Southern California for people to keep goats. And, you know, you probably remember in your early years of judging shows and stuff, how big the shows in Southern California were and competitive. And it really was a great place to grow up with dairy goats.
What was the town you were in?
Riverside.
Riverside.
Yep, I grew up in Riverside. My dad grew oranges and avocados.
Oh,
and it was the last of the citrus, what they call the citrus belt there.
And, did you work? You must have worked in that.
Oh, yeah. Yourself, yes. Right? Yeah, that's how I supported my goats. So, yeah, I had a good time with that.
How long did you have togs before you moved on to another breed?
Just a couple years. Oh, okay. Because then once I started hanging around Nancy, I got into launches, you know, and I always tell people, it's like, you know, Nancy Lake kind of put mammary systems on the launches before she came along. They had areas of attachment about that big, you know. I don't know if you guys remember those ads that she used to have, sire power equals utter power, and she'd have these four launches lined up with these beautiful udders, you know. Very influential time. She, you know, I thought this wide-eyed kid and stuff, she was having bucks in the spotlight sale at that time and stuff, and it was, you know, being able to, you know, be friends with somebody who was on a national basis, you know.
Did you get your first La Manchas from her then?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And then Audrey was the one that told me, I was right out of high school and didn't really have a lot of direction. You know, I knew I wanted to work with animals. My dad kept saying, oh, you need, you know, I had really good grades and stuff. Oh, you need to go and be a vet. And I was like, I don't really want to be a vet. You know, there's got to be something else to do with animal sites. And Audrey told me that Sheila's dad had a stroke. I think he had a stroke. and he had just come home from the hospital, and she had to go back to Southern California, and they needed somebody to go up there. And I went up there, and I was only there for 3 weeks, and Amos died. He was a really interesting man. He loved to tell stories. And for some reason, he got mixed up when I first got there. He kept calling me Eris.
Oh. Eris.
As her goal.
Yeah, and that's when Eris was still alive.
Yes.
And she would say, "No, Dad, his name is Eric." I said, "But you can call me Eris if you want." And so, and of course, you know, then going to Sheila's and really being inserted into the, you know, the big time as far as that goes. And Sheila was so kind as far as, she really made it a point to, you know, because it, people were stopping by there all the time, you know, who's who people and stuff. Mm-hmm. Always made sure she introduced me to them and made sure that I, you know, joined the conversation. And very good that way, it really was. But, and of course, I met a lot of influential people there.
How long were you there?
Several times I was there for about 10 years.
Oh,
but
total.
I lived there. It wasn't all in one duration.
And they had a dairy then, was it?
Yeah, she had a dairy. It was not necessarily what was making money financially. You know, it was kind of Sheila's extended 4-H project that the parents kind of adopted, and they were trying to make it. But they had, her dad Amos was very industrious. He had an opportunity down in Baldwin Park when they were moving houses that he had these empty lots. And you could, back then, you could buy the houses for $1 and they would move them onto your lot and you could refurbish them. So they had several rental places that they actually did much better with than they actually did with the dairy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the dairy allowed that bloodline herd, if you want to call it that, to exist. So.
And she had, what breeds did she have?
At that point in time, she had all breeds.
Oh, she
even had Nubians. Yeah, she had some beautiful Nubians then, too. Nubians, Machas, Togs, some really good Togs. I forget, Saunas. She didn't have as many Saunas, but she had a few. And then, of course, the Alpines, most of the Alpines.
Did you move your Machas in?
I did, yes. You probably remember Diane Young, Why Not Alpines. Mm-hmm. She let me keep my goats at her place in Norco, which was very close to where my dad lived, when I first went up to Sheila's, because I didn't know how it was going to work out, you know. And then once I got established up there, I came back and got my goats and took them back up there. And then, you know, got to be really good friends with Audrey as well. And Audrey told me about the opportunity in Kentucky with Philip Ferret, you know, when he was doing the Anacacha Alpines. And the deal was there that he was involved in a nightclub, ski type nightclub in Colorado. And so he couldn't be with the herd in Kentucky in the wintertime. And that's the reason I went there. And then he would come in the summertime and, you know, we would go to national shows and go to shows and stuff like that. And, you know, I really have had a good time. I haven't had as much of a herd myself as I've had helping other people. Mm-hmm. I went to the Albuquerque National Show with Nancy Lake in, what was that, 80? Mm-hmm. I've gone to national shows with Sheila, with Randy Hoach, with the Browns. Went to a couple of national shows with them. Went to one with Daniel in Spokane. It's just such an opportunity to go and kind of learn their ways and how they do things.
And you're talking
like
goats all the way.
Yeah, oh yeah.
All
that long
back
trip. And all, yeah, yeah. And with somebody like Daniel that, you know, you can pick their brain about stuff from a long time ago. And so.
Did you at some point sell your goats? Or, I mean, what? How long did you have goats as a part?
Basically, I kept my goats, a lot of my goats at Diane's too, because I went back to Southern California. My dad got divorced and he needed somebody to help him with the orange groves and the avocado groves, and I could live there. And my goats stayed over in Norco. And then when Don and I got together, I just kind of adopted some of his goats back again, you know, as far as helping with his goats. And never
What years did you go back to California then?
I was in the early 80s. I was in Kentucky. Then I went back to California for... I worked at the bakery for 5 years, and that was from like 85 to 90. And then I went back up to Sheila's and started again up there. And I was there for another 5 years, I think, before.
Was her place always at the same place, or did she have...
Yeah. And what happened with her place was that when her mom died, you know, the dairy, up until her mom died, hadn't been doing that good. And they'd been, her mom had been buying hay from this guy and not paying him. And Sheila didn't know when she, after her mom died, that there was like a $40,000 lien on the property from all this hay that her mom had been buying. And Sheila didn't have the money to pay it off, and her brother John did.
Okay.
And so John said, you can be a lifetime tenant here, but if I pay this off, the place is mine.
Yeah.
Because Sheila only had a third interest in the place.
Okay.
When she set up the dairy when her parents bought the place.
Okay.
And paid for all the workings of the dairy and stuff. And so her parents put her on as a third owner of the place.
Okay.
And so then when John paid off the lien on the place, he said, okay, you know, you can stay here, you can keep the goats here, but the place isn't going to be in my name now.
Okay.
And so,
did he live nearby, or where did he live?
The place, it was a 10-acre place to where it was just, you know, another house on the
place. Okay,
yeah,
okay. And so he's still there now? Is that, okay.
Yeah.
But there's no goats there at all, right?
When she died, I think she said she had a couple of goats. Okay. She had a couple of old, you know, dry goats that were 10 or 12 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he kept sheep for a number of years. I think he still has a few, but he's got some pretty serious health problems now, too. He's got some heart problems. So.
Is he younger or older?
Young. He was 10 years younger than Sheila.
I'm just curious, were there any other redheads in the family?
Yep. Well, her mother, Ellen, was a redhead.
Okay.
Although she went gray really early.
Uh-huh.
And Sheila's sister, Walda, was a redhead.
Oh, I didn't know she had a sister.
Yeah, she's been dead for a while, too.
Okay.
I was thinking there was another child in that family.
Yeah, Sheila was the middle child.
Oh, okay. But, okay. And was John somewhat involved with the goats?
When he was young. But
okay.
He went off to the military, and
okay.
He was a very spoiled child. Sheila talked a lot about that. You know, he was his mom's favorite, and Walda was, the sister was Amos's favorite.
Oh, so Sheila was the middle child then.
Amos, he used to call her Big Red. It's such a privilege to, you know, and I always tell people it's such a privilege to go to people's farms and meet people at their farms.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see so much more of a person that way. The whole appraisal thing has really been I tell people, it's like for the goat boy that refuses to grow up, it was the perfect job.
Yeah.
You know, you meet so many interesting people.
You know, Sheila said the same thing to me once, and she was talking about being at some goat farm somewhere. I don't know where it was, but she said she was introducing herself, and people asked, well, do you have goats too?
Yeah. Well, or they just assumed that you live in that same town.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, I... You know. Huh. You guys know Pat Henderson.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to her house and stuff, I mean, she would just start crying at the drop of a hat.
Oh.
And it was like, that's not the Pat I know. I mean, you know, and so you see a much different person at their house than you see. They put up this front, you know, and then you get to go to their house, and it's much different.
Huh.
Much different. And you guys probably saw a lot of it, because I scored you when I was first starting out, and that was very green. You know, so much of appraising and stuff is the education part of how to read people and how they're receiving information and what they can most benefit by the information that you can give them and stuff. And I had no concept of that when I was starting out at all. I was just, you know, because I didn't have a lot of friends when I was growing up, and so I socially was not practiced a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's become a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Being much more relaxed and at ease with people and stuff. Experience really does help.
Well, I can imagine some people have really preconceived ideas what they want to hear.
Yeah, well, and a lot of times they've already scored their votes themselves.
Yeah.
You know, in their head or wherever it is.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they can still see that goat, even though you get to the farm, and she's had a bad couple of weeks, or she's, you know, milking 20 pounds a day or whatever it is, to where it's like they know the goat that's there, but you're just seeing her for the 10 minutes that they've got her out there, and, you know, whatever it is. And so,
when did you start judging?
In 91. You know, the last time I came to your house, because I carried a briefcase for a long time with me. I'd take it into the, at the stop, you know, I open it, you know, you have all your stuff there. And then I finally realized, it's like, you know, I never use any of this stuff. I really don't need to take that in there. But I carried a letter from you from the first TC I had that, you know, you kind of gave me a glowing review and stuff. And it was a nice, I pull it out every once in a while when I was having a bad day. It's like, you know. But,
and how many years?
I judged for 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah. And it just got to the point to where it wasn't anywhere near as fun as doing the appraisal. You know, somebody call you up from New York and think, oh, New York, I get to go and, you know, see the goats in New York and everything and this and that. And invariably on those long trips and stuff, there'd be a problem with the flight, to where you wouldn't get in until 2 o'clock in the morning, and then you'd have to get back up at 5:30, you know, and you know, it rained all day at the show or whatever it was, to where I was just, you know, I have a whole lot more fun and see a whole lot more appraising than I do judging. And I, you know, and judging is, everybody at the show was on edge, you know, and and they only bring the goats that they think look good. You don't get to see the full picture of what a sire is doing, whereas you do when you go to their house. You see the setups, you see their hay feeders, you see all kinds of neat things that you don't get to see at shows, and I just enjoyed that a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Shows. When did you start appraising?
Also in 91.
Oh, okay.
They Lilia and Sheila took a big chance on me.
did they encourage you to do it? I mean,
Sheila did.
Yeah.
I would think so.
More so, what it was at the time was I was just learning to be a better judge. And it kind of was at a time like it is now, to where all of a sudden they were in dire need of appraisers. And I didn't have any restrictions at that point. No family, no, you know, nothing tying me down. So I'll do it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Had John already been appraising?
No.
Okay. Did you start before him? Or
I started 3 years before him.
Okay. Did you kind of bring him in to it then?
He went out on a trip with me, you know, to see if he would like it and stuff. But, you know, John, it's like, wasn't too long before it was like, oh yeah, Eric, who? We want John.
I,